Hi, I'm Chris, and this is Adventures in Odyssey. I was just doing a little work in my greenhouse. I have some really rare plants in here, and I give them only the very best of care. I water them and feed them. And, of course, play great music for them on my tape player.
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. You can find out for yourself when you come along on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
These plants don't look too good. You may have noticed that I try to relate what I do at the beginning of each adventure to what actually happens in each adventure. So you're probably wondering what my being in a greenhouse has to do with today's program. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to figure out for yourself. While I try to find out what's wrong with these plants, I want you to listen closely to today's adventure, and we'll start it right after these messages. Too much water, maybe?
The stories we hear help shape who we are. The right stories teach us to be brave, to be kind to others, to be godly people. So let your kids hear stories that will build their faith with an Adventures in Odyssey Club membership. Your family will get access to over 1,000 faith-building episodes, including club exclusives. Try a membership free for 14 days to see if it's right for your family. Go to adventuresinodyssey.com to start your free trial. That's adventuresinodyssey.com.
It's no secret that John Avery Whittaker is a man of many talents, and one of his biggest is writing stories. A fact that's not lost on Connie. She's at the counter right now, reading the last paragraph of a Whittaker tale. Let's listen in.
And how he fought an attacker who stole his mother's flower money. Everybody, that is, except Jeremy. He remembered it all for the rest of his life.
Hi, Connie.
Oh, hi, Whit.
What you reading?
One of your stories.
Really? I see. The Tangled Web. You're reading this again.
Yeah, it's great. You're a very good writer, you know?
Well, I thank you, Connie.
Wish I could write stories like this.
Why don't you?
Because I can't.
Well, have you tried?
Yeah, I've tried. I start with a pencil and a blank piece of paper.
And?
And I end with a pencil and a blank piece of paper.
Oh.
Well, how do you do it anyway? I mean, where do you get your stuff?
Well, I just write down what I know. The lessons I've learned, the experiences I've had. That's all most stories are, life's lessons.
Yeah, but how come the lessons I learn aren't as exciting or adventurous or funny as the lessons you learn?
Oh, I think they are.
No way! Whenever I learn something, the only thing I can think of is how dumb I was for not knowing it before.
Well, I will admit a lot does depend on how you look at the lesson.
There's more to it than that. You're just one of those people that exciting and adventurous and funny things happen to. That's all. And I'm not.
That's nonsense, Connie. And I'll prove it to you.
How?
Well, I recall something that happened to you not too long ago that would make a wonderful story.
What?
The play.
You wrote that play.
But you directed it. And what happened while you were directing makes a great story.
It does?
Yes. Think about it for a minute. What was the first thing you thought when I asked you to direct the play?
The first thing I thought was, I can't believe he's asking me to direct this play. I'm still not sure why you did it.
Well, I thought it would be a good experience for you. What else do you remember? Think about what happened on the first day.
The first day? Well, I remember we were all in the little theater, Everyone was there, and there was a lot of noise because they were really excited. And you and I were handing out scripts.
Okay, listen up. I think almost everyone's here, so Whit and I are going to start handing out the scripts.
You know, I'm not sure I ever said it before, Whit, but turning this old auditorium into a theater is one of the best things you've ever done to this place.
Well, thanks, Tom. You know, it seemed the natural thing to do, but, you know, I don't think we use it enough. That's one of the reasons why I wrote this play.
And it's a really great play, too. The Sower and the Seeds by John Whittaker.
Yes, sir. I really liked it when I read it, too. Particularly that lead role. Yeah. You know it's going to take a man with considerable talent to pull it off.
Well, that's why Connie and I asked you to do it, Tom.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we couldn't think of a more natural person to play a farmer. Here's your script.
Oh, farmer. Well, thanks, Connie. I guess you wanted the handsome, debonair type, huh?
Well, the role doesn't call for someone handsome and debonair, Mr. Riley. Just a farmer.
Well, he could be handsome and debonair, couldn't he? As a farmer, couldn't he?
Well, yes, Tom, he could be a handsome and debonair farmer.
Well, no, that's all right. I want to be a versatile actor. Nothing worse than always getting cast in the same old handsome, debonair type roles. No challenge that way.
Uh-huh.
Let me see now what it says.
Monty, here's your script. You play the part of Rocky.
All right. I can't believe I'm in this.
Well, you deserve it. You did the best job at the audition.
This is going to be great.
It's a pretty demanding role, you know. It's going to require a lot of hard work.
Oh, don't worry. I'll work hard.
Good. We'll be starting in just a minute, so look over your part.
Okay.
Oh, Jenny, you play the part of Weeds.
Yes, Weeds. She's quite a colorful character, isn't she, Grandpa?
Yes, she is, Jenny.
But she's not exactly one of the good guys, Jen.
Oh, I realize that. She's rather tragic, really. Starting out in good company, but later falling sway to the charms of the wrong crowd. I especially like the part where she paraphrases George Orwell. And why all this bother about goodness? Human beings want to be good, but not too good, and not all the time.
How many times did you read this play?
Well, just once at the auditions. And that's when I knew I wanted that role. It's the best kind, one with dimension and diversity. I see Weeds as a modern-day Persephone in many ways, don't you?
Well, Whit?
Well, we'll talk about it later, Jenny.
What part do I play, Connie?
Oh, Lucy, will you play the part of Goody?
Okay. Goody sounds, good.
Well, before you say okay, you should know it's not a very big part.
Oh, that's all right.
Are you sure? I mean, everybody else gets the big dramatic scenes.
There are no small parts, just small actors. Isn't that what you always say, Mr. Whittaker?
Well, yes, but that was before I wrote this role.
Look, Lucy, to be perfectly honest, see, in this part you're really symbolic of something else, which is why you don't have very many scenes. Come to think of it, you don't really do much of anything in the scenes you have. I mean, it's less than a walk-on.
Oh, Connie.
But don't feel bad. I mean, lots of popular stage characters lack dimensionality and development.
Oh, Connie.
As a matter of fact, a cardboard cutout would probably be a better use of stage space.
Connie.
Huh?
She gets the point.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Whit.
Well, what Connie is trying to say in her own delicate fashion, Lucy, is that if you don't want to do the part, we'll understand.
Will you two stop worrying? It's all right. I'm just glad to be a part of the play. I'll take any role you want to give me.
Well, okay. Thanks, Lucy. I guess we should tell the stagehands to stop working on the cardboard cutout, huh, Whit?
Hey, Whit! Whit! I've been looking over the script here, and I noticed there's one part that hasn't been filled yet.
Well, I noticed that too, Grandpa. It's the role of Birdie.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty important part. We had to pick a very special actor for it.
Really? Well, who'd you get, Grandpa?
Greetings and salutations, one and all.
That's him now.
Eugene? Eugene! I didn't know you could act.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Riley. As a matter of fact, I've been a closet thespian for the majority of my lifetime.
Well, I knew there was something strange about you.
He means he's wanted to act for a long time, Tom.
Oh, yeah, sure. I knew that.
Unfortunately, my life has been so consumed by computers and collegiate endeavors, I've never had the opportunity to try the boards until this very moment.
What's he playing, a horse?
Well, we're happy to have you involved, Eugene.
I shan't let you down, Mr. Whittaker. I've swept aside my exhausting schedule in order to partake of your creative promulgations.
You're just going to stand there and take that whip? Whopping one good.
Tom.
Huh?
All he said was that he's taking time out to be in the play. I'm happy you're here, Eugene.
As am I. And I'm looking forward to submitting myself to your directorial control in this project.
But, Eugene,
But before I do that, however, I was able to procure an advance copy of your script. And while I think it is well written, I do have a few directorial suggestions.
Oh, boy. But, Eugene, I'm not...
Firstly, I think the most important thing to focus on will be character interpretation and delivery. Rocky and Weeds, for example. I wonder what would happen if we reversed them.
Reverse them?
Also, while the play makes an excellent straight dramatic piece, I believe the role of the farmer might be better served if played by a woman.
A woman?
I don't know.
It occurred to me that the character of Bertie should be musical in nature.
Musical?
And with that in mind, I thought I'd try out a few festive numbers for you on my ukulele here.
Are you a little
Stephen Foster piece, firstly. Oh, I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm going to play with
Eugene, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but as a playwright, I'd like to produce the play as it is.
Yeah, really.
But as the director, you could very
That's
easily...
That's what I've been trying to tell you all along. I'm not the director.
You're not? Well, then who is?
I am.
That's right. And that means the final decisions are up to her.
You, Miss Kendall?
Yeah, me. Is there something wrong with that?
Oh, well, no. I simply didn't realize you were of that ilk.
Well, I'm not. I feel perfectly fine.
No, I meant I didn't realize that you had any experience as a theatrical director.
Yeah, you do have experience, don't you?
Well, I've done a few things.
A few?
Well, one thing for an elementary school.
You directed kids?
Well, actually, I did the play while I was in elementary school. It was called Little Flip Flop Meets Mean Old Mr. Gum. It was an anti-litter program.
Great. Well, I thought Connie would bring a fresh perspective to the play. That's why I asked her to do it.
I think she'll do a great job if we all just give her the chance.
Look, I know I don't have a lot of experience, but I've been reading up on directing at the library, and I think I can do it. What do you say?
About my suggestions. I think that this particular musical number would work very well at the first scene break. All I come from Alabama. Everybody.
We'll hear the rest of Connie's story when today's adventure in Odyssey continues right after this.
Missing gold? A haunted mansion? Bank robbers? Young Witt is on the case.
This is Jonathan Avery Whitaker, age 10. My stepmom says that I have a great imagination.
John Avery, come down from that roof. Papier-mâché wings will not make you fly.
That's right. Mr. Whitaker had some wild adventures back in the day.
My dad says I'm clever and resourceful.
Does anyone know why our chickens are bald?
10-year-old Witt solved a lot of mysteries, and you can read all about them in the Young Witt book series.
I'll tell you all about the Confederate gold escapade later. It's a long story. Maybe I'll write a book about it one day.
These 5 books are perfect for kids ages 10 and up, especially if they're Adventures in Odyssey fans. Your kids will dive into exciting mysteries while learning important lessons about God.
Ha! I told you we'd find treasure in here. Come on, let's keep digging.
Learn more at youngwit.com. That's youngwit.com.
Want to contact us about the episodes you're hearing? Visit our website at adventuresinodyssey.com or talk to someone at Focus on the Family. Call 1-800-A-FAMILY, with a parent's permission, of course. We always love hearing from you. And now back to Adventures in Odyssey.
Well, that was quite a day, wasn't it?
You got that right. I thought you said this would make a wonderful story. So far, it's nothing but a painful memory.
Well, it didn't end there. What happened after that?
Things went from bad to worse to terrible, that's what.
Whoa, now wait a minute. Not everything was bad, was it? Come on, Connie, think through the story.
All right, sorry. Well, maybe not everything was bad. Lucy was all right, so was Tom Riley.
Well, as a matter of fact, once they accepted you as the director, everybody was all right, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess they were. Come to think of it, for a while there, the rehearsals were even kind of fun. Things were going along pretty smoothly.
Okay. Now, think. When did things start going bad?
Well,
Oh, yeah, it was the third rehearsal. I don't think you were there for that one.
No.
That was when we started going through individual scenes. Uh-huh. I remember it started out pretty good. We were just about to go through the scene with Tom and Eugene.
Tom, Eugene, in your places?
Indeed, Miss Kendall.
Right here.
All right, now remember, Tom, the farmer has already sent the message to Bertie, but he doesn't know if Bertie has it yet.
Right.
And Eugene, as Bertie, you have the message, but you're really suspicious of the farmer, okay?
Understood.
Oh, great.
Well, I'll get it, Connie.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, Farmer Bertie, I really want to see those emotions come through. All right, go.
So, what's it all about, Mr. Farmer?
It's all in the message, Bertie. Didn't you get it?
I did.
Then, what else is there to say?
Not much.
Connie?
What?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Eugene has a phone call. Morty Moskowitz from the computer club at Campbell County Community College. He said it was urgent.
Oh, right. Mortimer, I left him the number here in case he needed me.
The computer club has something urgent? Mm-hmm. What could be urgent? He has a fractured floppy disk, a cracked keyboard.
As a matter of fact, we're working on an extremely important program.
Well, make it quick, Eugene. We're in the middle of a rehearsal here.
I shan't be more than a few moments.
I guess you can take a break too, Tom.
Okie dokie. But I hope he hurries. I don't want my character to get cold.
Oh, before you come down, would you pop backstage and tell Monty and Lucy to get ready to do their scene?
Sure thing.
Tell them I want to see it right after I hear Jenny's monologue.
Will do.
Okay, Jenny, hop on the stage and let's hear it.
You mean now?
Yeah.
You really want me to go up there?
Yes, I want you to do it just the way we rehearsed it. Come out from stage right, cross down to center stage, and deliver your speech. Is there a problem?
Well, yes. I'm afraid someone will walk in and see me.
So?
What if I make a mistake?
I'm sure they won't mind.
But I will.
What?
I don't want to risk making a mistake in front of an audience.
There's no audience, Jenny, just members of the cast and crew.
But I don't know my part perfectly. I don't want anyone to see it until I know my part perfectly. That's just the way I am.
Well, Jenny, that may be the way you've done it in the past, but I'm afraid you won't be able to do it here.
I won't. But we've already done 2 rehearsals that way.
I know, but that was to get you familiar with the part and the basic blocking. Look, the only way to make this play work is for everyone to rehearse together. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. No one will care.
But I care.
Jenny! Look, Eugene just got off the phone. I want to run his and Tom's scene again. While I'm doing that, I want you to get ready to do your monologue in front of whoever's out here, okay?
Well, I'm not promising anything.
Wonder what's gotten into her.
1,000 pardons, Miss Kendall.
It's all right. Tom!
Yeah?
Eugene's off the phone now. I want to try your scene again.
Well, Monty and Lucy are almost ready.
Well, they can wait. I want to run this scene first.
Okie dokie. I guess everything is taken care of now, Eugene.
Down to the last microbyte.
All right, you guys, from the top.
Oh, no. I fear that's for me.
Not again.
Everything's taken care of right down to the last microbyte, huh?
Well, I thought it was. Perhaps some new problem has arisen. We're at a very delicate point in our program.
Yeah, well, I've got news for you. We're at a very delicate point in our rehearsal. Go ahead.
I'm most grateful. I'm confident this will take only scant seconds.
Yeah. Might as well come down, Tom.
Okie dokie.
Lucy!
Yeah, Connie?
Are you and Monty in your places?
We sure are.
All right, then whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Connie?
Yes, Monty?
I'm not sure I know all my lines and everything.
Well, do the best you can. If you don't know something, just holler line and I'll give it to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's go.
What strange words have I been hearing? A rumor spreading throughout the land. Rumors of a message. What could it be? There's Rocky. I'll ask him. He must know. Oh, Rocky!
Hello, Goody.
Rocky, what is this message everyone talks of?
Mine.
So you've heard about it too, huh?
Oh, yeah. So you've heard about it too, huh? Mine?
The news of it has spread.
The news of it has spread?
Even out to these lonely...
The news of it has spread even out to these lonely,
And nethermost... Regions.
Regions.
Monty.
Oh, what?
You don't know any of this, do you?
I know some of it. I know the first part.
What first part?
Well, the hello goody part.
Monty, everyone's supposed to have their lines memorized for this rehearsal. You knew that.
Well, it isn't easy, you know.
I told you it was a demanding role, and you said you were going to work hard at it.
Well, I have been, sort of.
You're going to have to work harder. Lucy, I want you to run lines with him. Do it until he knows them forward and backward.
Okay, Connie. Come on, Monty.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Okay, Jenny, you're on.
Connie, I can't.
What?
I simply can't do it. I'm sorry I tried. I really did. I know I'm being silly, but why don't you give my part to Lucy? She can do it. I've heard her backstage.
Jenny!
Thank you for giving me the part, but I can't. Not in front of anyone. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Am I mistaken, or did she just quit?
I think she just quit.
Hey, did Jenny just leave?
She sure did.
Why?
She said she couldn't rehearse in front of us until it's perfect.
Oh, not that again. She's like that sometimes.
What are we gonna do?
The only thing we can do. Lucy, you'll have to play the part of Weeds.
All right.
Wait a minute. If she plays Weeds, who's gonna play opposite me?
I don't know. Maybe we can get Whit to rewrite your part. Make it a solo.
A solo? You want me to learn all those lines by myself? No way.
Monty, it's not that hard to do.
Maybe not for you, but it sure is for me. Look, I don't think I want to do this play anymore.
Monty, you can't leave.
Hey, this is one thing that I can do just as good as my sister. Goodbye.
Monty! I can't believe this. Jenny can't rehearse in front of anybody, and there are too many lines for Monty. What else could possibly go wrong?
Miss Kendall, Connie, I'm afraid I have some rather distressing news. You see?
Oh, no.
Oh, don't tell us your diodes died.
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. The computer club needs me. I'm sorry, Connie, but I'm afraid I must postpone my theatrical debut indefinitely. Adieu.
Great. Just great.
And he turned around and walked right out of the place. And that ended one of the worst days of my life.
Now. Everything ended up all right, didn't it?
Yeah, thanks to you.
Oh.
You rewrote the play so that the four of us could do it.
Yes, and if I remember right, thanks to everyone's hard work, it was a smashing success.
Yeah, but I still don't think this is a very good story.
You don't?
No, I mean, what's the point?
You mean you don't see it?
In a word, no.
Connie, the story you just told is a modern-day version of one of Christ's parables.
What? What are you talking about?
Why, the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Remember it?
Yeah, that's the one where a farmer scattered seeds and some got snatched by birds on a roadside.
Mm-hmm.
And some fell in a rocky place and died because they didn't have roots. And some get choked by thorns, and, what else? Oh, some grew into an abundant crop.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Jesus used it as an example of the different ways people respond to the gospel.
Right. Okay, now, think about it. You directed a play, and everybody in your cast was committed to it. At first, but then
Eugene went to be with his computer club.
The club sort of snatched him away from the play, just like the birds snatched away the seed on the path.
Yeah, and Monty's like the seed sown in the rocks.
Right.
He was enthusiastic at first, but then when things got a little tough, he bailed out.
That's right. And what about Jenny?
She was worried about what other people would think if she didn't do a perfect job.
Yes, and so worried, in fact, that she couldn't perform. She choked, just like the seed sown among the thorns.
And Tom and Lucy were the good seed. They stuck to it and worked hard and produced a good crop, the play.
Now, you're getting it right. You see? Here you were, thinking that the things that happen to you don't make for good stories, when in reality you lived out a modern version of one of Christ's parables.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have ever noticed it if you hadn't pointed it out.
Well, that's the reason I said earlier that a lot depends on how you look at it. See, Connie, I think that we're surrounded by parables in our daily lives. We just have to learn to look for them, that's all. You know, you've taken a great first step.
Yeah, now I get it. Thanks, Whit.
You are welcome. Well, what are you waiting for?
Huh?
You wanted a story, and now you've got one. Get in there and write it down.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should, shouldn't I? Hey, I just thought of a great title for it.
Really? What?
How about Scattered Seeds? What do you think, huh?
Oh, that's not bad. There's only one thing missing. A pencil, please.
Here.
There. Now it's perfect.
Scattered Seeds by Connie Kendall. Oh, man.
Oh, Connie.
That was nice. You know, it's pretty exciting to think that there are parables all around us. I don't know about you, but from now on, I'm really going to be on the lookout for them. How about you? Can you think of a modern-day parable that's going on around you? If you can, write it down and send it to me here in Odyssey. The address is Odyssey,
Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. In Canada, write to Box 9800, Vancouver, BC, V6B4G3. Oh, and when you write, be sure to ask about how you can get a copy of today's program. It's called Scattered Seeds. The address once again is Odyssey, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written by Campbell Freed and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.